What is up, party people? It's Wojo. I'm back with Peter. We got another episode of the Life in a Show podcast. Today, we're going to talk about something that may not, like, listen, do not turn this episode off. Do not turn this episode off. We are going to talk about...
just lost a bunch of people.
I know. We're going to talk about something because it is so powerful, and we've debated back and forth whether, you know, we should cover it in a podcast episode. And the answer is yes, because it's important. And so therefore, we're going to discuss it, even though it's not the most popular topic in the world. And that is, we're going to talk about numbers and data. We're going to talk about metrics in your business that you really genuinely need to know. And let me just say this, if you're tempted right now to stop this podcast, you might also be the kind of person who buries their head in the sand regarding the numbers in your business. And there's a really good chance you're either not making the money you want because of that, or you are actually, you know, maybe potentially even in trouble and losing money, and you're just, you'd rather it go away than face the reality of going through this stuff.
Yes. So one number that I would encourage you to not be so all about.
Wait, I want to start with one number, dude. The number one podcast you should listen to is the Life in Our Show. That's number one.
Yes. So I think we're done for this podcast, man. Just finish it here. You know what I mean?
Right.
This is the one you like, you subscribe to, you get your that notifications on. Anything and everything. Share it with everybody. You know?
Yep, there you go.
That's when the numbers are, and the numbers when you do that will go up, dude, in your business, right?
All right. First number that you need to know is the obvious one. Top line revenue, sales, income. They're all the same word for the different thing. Like, what does the business bring in? And this is the one everybody usually knows, although I will tell you, that is not true for everybody. And, you know, when I sit down with business owners, you know, whether it's consulting or coaching or whatever, sometimes this number is not immediately available because they haven't taken the time to figure it out. And, you know, this is the easiest number to get out of all of them. So you really got to find this number. So if you, this would be a number you'd find in your merchant account. If you do your transactions there, this is where perhaps you could also, like, this is a crude way of doing it, but you, if you have to, you could look at it this way too, is if people are writing checks to you, you put it there. You know, this is the money you make, right? If you have cash, that's you need to know this number because everything else stems off of this.
Yeah, but the important aspect about this number, and I love business owners, especially when I start working with them, the ones who are on the lower level of their business, is that they tend to look like this is the only number. And if you just run your business basically just on revenue, it is not going to be pretty. And we're going to explain to a little bit more about on this particular podcast. But yeah, revenue is important. You need to know this number, but you should not run your business just on that number. And we see this all the time when people come in, like, you know, my business is making this extrubent. Is there a word? Maybe I just made up
it is
a
now.
Word.
Extrubent.
Extrubent. You probably can. You guys get what I'm saying, right?
Elaborate. I have no idea what you actually mean, honestly. Like, what does that mean?
Like elaborate, like a huge number. Like for instance, people say, I have a seven-figure business is making me, you know, $2 million a year or whatever it might be. And that sounds good. But if they're the only number that they're looking at, how many times have we seen businesses actually failing that's like this kind of a seven-figure kind of company?
Oh, dude. And so listen, here's another sobering point. Like, do not be impressed when somebody says they have $1 million or seven-figure or eight-figure or nine-figure business, because it means nothing in regards to correlating to what they actually keep or take home, as you'll discuss in a second. And by the way, even if they're making great money, do they have a life too? There's another metric there that we're not even going to talk about, but that's ultimately probably one of the best metrics is, like, you know, are you making that money and is it supporting the life you want or is it suffocating your life, right? And so that's one thing. Number two is you got to recognize, like, in business, there are expenses, right? It'd be amazing if we just, you know, I guess if you're a solopreneur and you're consulting, all your only expense really is your time and your internet connection or your phone, but like, most businesses, if you have real expenses, are going to cost you money. And so there's really two kinds of expenses. The first one is the cost of goods. They call this COGS, COGS, for cost of goods sold. This refers to the actual money it takes you to produce the widget that you sell. Let's say, I had an HVAC company out here yesterday, so I'll use HVAC as an example today. That whatever it costs you to build, to make that thermostat, right? That's your cost of goods sold. if you are you have a book, Peter just published his book, his cost of goods sold is what that printing costs and shipping is going to be, right? Shipping. So that's what his cost of goods sold would be. And so the reason this is important is because there's you really got to dissect the cost of goods sold from operating expenses. Now it's a subtle difference on the surface, but it's a huge difference underneath. So the cost of goods only goes up if you sell or create something, but the operational expenses, the expenses to keep the lights on and pay the utilities and have your staff, if they're on salary, for instance, like that's gonna be there no matter what. And so you've got to distinctly really separate these to understand that, you know, cost of goods sold correlates with how many you sell. The operating costs stay there no matter what. And so this is also why you have to be super careful about taking on a lot of overhead in your business and having a large amount of operating costs to keep the doors open. Because if you don't sell anything, those expenses are still there. Meanwhile, if you don't sell anything, your cost of goods sold have kind of like also diminished as well. At least if you're paying as you go. Now, in true form, some businesses will get a ton of inventory and they'll like just print off for like, for instance, you guys know, some of you know, if you know what a DVD is, you know, back in 2007, I think, I created a DVD and it was much cheaper for me to print off 1,000
of
them.
What was the DVD about?
It was bodybuilding and training. Yeah.
What kind of training? Like
body, like fitness training, bro. Lifting things up, putting them down.
Yeah. Exactly.
DC training. Yeah. DC training.
Don't look it up for those of you listening after you listen to this podcast.
I bought in bulk because like it was much cheaper. It was like $2 a CD or DVD rather than versus like, you know, $5 or $6. I'm like, oh, why would I pay that when I can? So I just bulk ordered a bunch of them. But then, you know, after I sold the first batch, I did it again. And then I ended up not even selling all of those. So, because I made a bigger order the second time around. And so you got to be careful with this, but you got to understand the difference between cost of goods sold and operating costs.
Yeah. And the other aspect I want you to also consider is that, you know, you might be getting a little bit into the weeds when it comes to these expenses, is some of them are true expenses and some of them are investments into your business. And what I mean by that is like, if you go and hire someone, right, that's the operational expenses, is it really, you know, I look at it from perspective of it's an investment into my business because that employee that I'm going to be hiring, it needs to pay for himself or herself to be able to have a job in this particular company. So what ends up happening a lot of times, especially entrepreneurs, when they're starting up, they want to hire someone because now that's a big expense and it's into my money and I don't have the money. And so it's a whole different discussion. But if you look from the perspective on the expense side, when it comes to certain aspects of it as an investment, it helps you start growing that business a little bit more. So we had revenue. We had expenses, which at the end of the day, what ends up happening when you add all this stuff, it gives you some what? Money that's left over, right? Profits. Yeah.
So let's, before we get to, so net profit is your bottom line that you take home, right? We'll talk about that in a second. Two things I want you to really consider. And by the way, all of this can be found on your P&L, your profit and loss, also called your income statement. And hopefully, please get a, if you have a business, a real business, do yourself a favor and get some sort of accounting software. We have QuickBooks, although I kind of have a love-hate relationship with QuickBooks because I feel like it's overpriced. However, it is what it is. So you get some sort of software. Don't use spreadsheets. I did that for a couple of years when I first started, but it's just not the way to do it if you have a real business. And so all these reports can be generated automatically in an accounting software. And so one of the ratios or metrics I want you to pay attention to is your gross margin. And so your gross margin is your revenue that we already talked about minus your cost of goods sold. Like, so that's your gross profit, and gross margin just basically means you're just dividing that number, you know, so gross profit divided by revenue will give you some percentage. So like, you know, maybe it's your gross margin is 80%, which would be amazing, which would mean that, you know, your operating costs are only 20% of your revenue, which would be great. You know, 50% would mean that it costs you about half of whatever you sell it for just to make it, right? And so that is really important because it shows you the basic profitability of a product or service before your expenses and before your operating costs are added in. And you need to know this. Cause like, and this is where, man, like when people approach me about I just talked to the guy yesterday about billboard investing. And we were talking about some numbers and trying to get and it turns out in his case, like, you know, we were trying to figure out what the gross profit margin was, and he didn't know. And you gotta know that before you even, you know, get to the point of wanting to run a business or deciding to go into business. So that's number one, is your gross profit, right? And again, revenue minus cost of goods sold, super easy. You wanna make a percentage, you know, just take that gross profit and divide by revenue, and that's your percentage. The other one to really know is your operating profit. So operating profit is kind of like what it sounds like, which is your gross profit, which we just figured out, minus your operating expenses. And so now you know how well your company is running from an operational perspective. And this will give you kind of some feedback on like how lean and how good your company is running, regardless of whether you sell anything or not. And again, you want to convert that to a percentage. It's just the operating margin, which is just, you know, your operating profit divided by revenue. Super easy.
Yeah. So it's important to know these numbers because it's going to help you determine what's the next steps you need to take in your business when it comes to, let's say, marketing, when it comes to, you know, growing this business. And a lot of times, if you don't know these numbers, it's kind of like walking around in a dark room. You know, you like kind of feeling your way around this business and see what do I need to do, who do I need to hire, and what, as far as marketing, how much money am I able to spend on this business? So it's important to have to know these numbers. And so the next number that I want to personally bring in here is looking from the perspective of, and because I see this a lot of times when it comes to marketing the business, a lot of business owners will go, well, I can't market this because I don't have the money to market it, or it's going to cost me too much to be able to acquire this customer, right? So there's a couple of numbers into that perspective I want you guys to consider. Is one, do you know what the cost is that it costs you to acquire a new client? What is the cost per acquisition for that new client? How much does it cost you? So that means when you go and spend the money in order to get the new client, how much money on average do you need to spend to get that client? Because that's going to tell you a really important thing. And so that's number one. And the other aspect I want you to consider is, and by the way, if you look from that perspective of acquiring the new client over the next 30 days, so for within the first 30 days, how much does it cost you to acquire the client? You know that number. And then you look at the other perspective of what is the lifetime value of that particular client? So that means that you look at all your clients that you have in your business, and you look at how much money you've made across all of these clients, and then on average, which you divided out by number of clients, how much on average, how much do you acquire as far as the money from each client? You get your lifetime value of that average client that you get. Now, why is that important?
So let me just add a qualifier there, man. What you really are looking at is a lifetime gross profit, right? Because if you made, let's say you make $10,000, let's say you had a lifetime value of $10,000, but you had cost of goods sold of $5,000, you only really made $5,000 from that client at the end of paying for it. So like you're really looking at, when you say lifetime value, we're really referring to lifetime gross profit.
Right. So now that we know these two numbers, now you are able to start looking from the perspective of how much am I able to actually spend to acquire the new client without losing money? And what ends up happening is that most business owners, they just look at the front end and they go and stop marketing because it's costing me too much money to, you know, acquire the customer. So for instance, let's consider like this book that Borja mentioned earlier. It's costing me, in order to print it and ship it, about $11 to get that book out somewhere in the United States. So now if I go and start marketing for this
book.
Hold on,
what does a book sell for? Like 16, 17 bucks?
$17, right.
Okay, so you're...
But
So
this is on the outside, like, you know, if they buy it on Amazon or Barnes and Noble, right?
Okay. So you have, so basically, check this out, guys. This is a really great example. He sells it for $17. It costs him, his cost of goods sold is 11. So that means he has $6 of profit. Now, if he were looking at, if he were looking at just the top number of $17, he could be like, man, I can sell this thing for, like, you know, I could, you know, put marketing into this $17 a person and break even, and I just got a lead. Well, no, not actually, because you'd be losing all of that extra money that you now didn't account for through your profit. Sorry, through your cost of goods sold too. So, for instance, use another example. We talked a second ago about, you know, the example, you make $10,000 from somebody, it costs you $5,000 to deliver it. If you said, oh man, I can break even and spend $10,000 per customer to bring in. No, that's not actually true. You can only spend $5,000 without losing money. And by the way, even $5,000, you're not making any money. And so, like, what's the value in that? So that you really, this is why you need to know these numbers.
Right. But then, you know, think about the example of my book, right? $11 to print the book and ship it. $17 that the revenue on it. So now, if I look from very plain kind of an example, I have what? $6 left over for what? Marketing. I haven't marketed this book. So now, if I'm starting marketing, put money into the marketing, and I spend $6, most business owners, what they'll do is, like, if I spend more than $6, I'm losing money and I can't sustain my business. Now, if you look from, well, how much am I making on this client within the first, let's say, 30 days or over a lifetime value, and if it's bigger, you know, larger, a lot more than that $17, now that I can actually go and spend more money on the front end to acquire the customer and continue with this marketing and not completely shut it off, because now I'm spending, let's say, $10 on acquiring the customer. It's costing me, you know, $21 for this book, and I'm only making $17 on the front end. So now I'm actually screwed. In fact, in my case, you know, when it comes to this book, if they're buying it off of, let's say, Amazon or on Barnes & Noble, I'm actually making a lot less because royalties are not that big. You know, there are so many different hands in this basket that actually go and take some of those, you know, profits off of that, right?
So, hold on. I want to pause, man, because you said something super important. This is like level 2.0, and I want to make sure that everybody understands this. If we just looked at the profit that Peter made from his book, in this example, it's $6. But what he just said is, what if this book allows me to attract people that now want to hire me for something, or I have some other thing to offer them and some other thing that I can, you know, generate revenue from? Now you have this level two version of how you can use these metrics in your favor.
Right. And my goal is to increase that profit, that revenue from the customer over the next 30 days, you know, within the first 30 days. So then I can spend $21, $22, $25 to acquire that particular client, because I know I'm going to make money.
Explain why 30 days is important.
Well, because think about it this way. If you go more than 30 days and you are on the front end losing that money, like, for instance, like, it costs me $11 to print and ship. I'm, you know, making only, you know, from the perspective of, let's say, if so you're buying it off of Amazon or whatever, so I get 20% off of that $18. So that's even less. So if I don't have some kind of a revenue, some kind of an upsell, something that they're going to be able to sell them or get something within the first 30 days, then guess what? How long am I going to be able to sustain this growth? Not for very long. So you need to have money kind of turning over a little bit so you can go and reinvest into that business to put that money into the front end. You know what I mean? So if it's costing me, let's say, $25 to acquire the client, but I know that in the first 30 days, I'm going to make $50 from that client, then guess what? I can take a portion of that profit, put it back into that business to keep and be able to keep growing and acquiring more clients for that $25. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
But if I don't, for the first 30 days, if I'm, let's say, making only $20, and it's costing me 25, well, how much longer am I going to be able to actually sustain this?
Hey, we'll get right back to the episode, but before we do, I want to tell you about something really special. We have an upcoming Business Builder Workshop in Raleigh, North Carolina, my hometown, from November 13th to the 15th. It's a three-day event. It's essentially a three-day MBA. We've actually had people say, I've learned more from 3 days with you guys than I have in 2 years of business school. We unpack from A to Z what it takes to be successful in business. From a high level, an armchair, a theoretical approach, but a proven practical in the trenches approach. We talk about sales, we talk about marketing, we talk about business development, we talk about outsourcing, automation, delegation, like managing your money, making sure you have everything in place. Like it's awesome, dude. Peter co-facilitates these with me. Peter, what would you say to somebody who's thinking about coming out to Business Builder?
Well, if you want to have a business that supports your life, not the other way around, this is the place where we actually sit down and for 3 days create a business that basically supports your life. So you can go on vacations, you can spend time with the family, you can actually do what you were setting out to do. So we'd love to see you there and dig deep into the business and see how it can help you.
And I'll also say this, you know, for those of you who are skeptical, and I realize 3 days is a long time to ask, we have a 100% money back guarantee. You come to the entire event. Not the first half of the first day where, you know, you may stay there because you're afraid we're going to cover something good on the second day. Come to the full 3 days. And if it's not worth every single penny you paid to be there, we will gladly refund all of that money right there and then to you. We've never had a single person ask for that back, though, just for your information. So, again, November 13th through 15th, the Life in Air Business Builder Workshop. Go to lifeinair.com and register now. Let's get back to the episode. Well, so that's where, like, you know, to the point of the 30 days is to really get that money back as quickly as possible so you can deploy it for the next round of marketing or the next spend for your ads or whatever it is. And it's a little riskier the longer it takes, and it just crimps your cash flow. Like, it's a drain. And the other thing to consider is if you're putting your ads, for instance, on credit cards, you're gonna start paying interest after 30 days as well. And so, like, practically speaking, if you can get that money back and then some over that 30 day period, you essentially can self finance your marketing spend without, you know, just based on the sale itself. So it almost perpetuates itself, becomes like a flywheel.
Right. But that's why these numbers are so important. I see so many business owners shoot themselves in the foot by not marketing, because the answer is, I don't have the money to market.
So,
but when you know these numbers, of a sudden the conversation changes a little bit.
So these are essentially the marketing numbers we want to talk about, the business numbers. Let's just review real quick. So we got revenue, which is our top line. We have our gross profit, right, which is revenue minus cost of goods sold. We have our operating profit, which is our gross profit minus operating expenses. Then we have net profit, which is left at the end. We also have lifetime customer value, right? How much you're making off this person after accounting for cost of goods. And then we have customer acquisition cost, or CAC, right? How much it costs you to get this person. Now let's transition into actual percentages of conversions, because this will be important for the discussion. And I know if you're following along, it can be hard to kind of get this because we're not doing it out on a whiteboard, but like, just we'll try to make it as simple as possible. So for Peter's example, in order to some percentage of people that read his book will reach out to him. Same thing will happen when my book is published as well. And they're going to want some kind of services. They're like, hey, Peter, can you coach me for an hour, whatever. And let's say that 5% of readers do that. And so what Peter, and let's say I'm making up these numbers. Let's say Peter charges $500 an hour for coaching.
And $5 million an hour.
Okay. Well, dude, you're making the math hard now. So what we can see is if we take 5%, and I'm gonna do this with my calculator and I'll tell you the math. So if you have 0.05% of people, right, that are taking a $500 upgrade, that means on average, you are making $25 per book as a lifetime gross profit from a reader, meaning, like, hey, 5% of these people, like, you know, the average, and this isn't accounting for the $6 before. This is literally just from the people that convert to the coaching calls. And so now you have a new number to work off of. And if we take the $6 of profit from the book itself add it to the $25 for the coaching call, we're now at $31 of profit per book. And now you can say like, hey, based on these numbers, I can spend, if I want to, up to and break even $31. And so that's how you start to kind of like, you know, get these calls. Now, to Peter's point, you know, these may or may not book in the first 30 days. And he might discover that, like, gosh, like I only have 1% of people that want to get services with me in 30 days. And 6 months, it's another three. You know what I mean? Like, so you got to know your math. And the only way you can know your math is by doing it. Like, there's no way to predictively. Now, I guess you could try to find some industry averages in ChatGPT or something, but like, or ask people that are doing it currently and know what to find out for yourself. But like, you know, this is how you really can start to, you can use your conversion numbers to make decisions with the finances.
Yeah. And I will tell you this, when it comes to success business, these numbers will tell you so much more about the business, about the health of the business, as opposed to you just talking about it or someone telling you about their business. When it comes to this, like, you know, look at the numbers, like this example he just talked about, let's say that 5% conversion. And now I'm looking at this entire picture and I'm like, okay, so what do I need to focus on over the next period of time to be able to, let's say, increase just by maybe 10%? So if I increased that conversions into that coaching call by 10%, what happens to my numbers versus increasing, let's say, you know, the number of people that buy the book by 10%, right? Versus something else. So what ends up happening is when you look at the numbers, it helps you clarify which decisions I need to make in order to have the most impact, positive impact on my business and all my profits and things like that. So that is so important to look at these numbers. I know it kind of looks boring. And for someone like, for instance, like me, I'm a more of a visionary kind of a person. I am not the person who likes a lot of details. You get somebody else to put those numbers for you. You mentioned at the beginning of this podcast, like bookkeeper or whatever, or having this bookkeeping software that does it for you. So it's really important to look at that kind of stuff because you're not going to know how to drive that business to get to the next level. If you're a real estate investor and you're listening to this podcast, guess what? You have your types of numbers that you can use from this particular podcast that we just talked about and apply it to your own business. You have cost per acquisition. You have lifetime value. You know, this looks a little bit different than, let's say, in an online marketing company, but you have those numbers. Look at those numbers, and then you're going to be able to see, okay, how much do I need to spend? Can I spend on marketing? And is there something that I can do to increase my margins? And picking one that's going to have the biggest leverage for you to be able to go and grow this business.
And let me just say, I love that, man. Usually, if you're going to work on something, it usually, when it comes to marketing, for instance, or anything that has number of, like, so for instance, like, you know, you got like percentage of people that land on your page, percentage, and then you have like, you know, landing page impressions, then you have people that opt in. And from those people that opt in, you have the people that open their email. And people open your email, you have people that click, you have people that buy. Like, so it is a cascade. And usually you start at the top for when you're trying to tweak, because that's gonna have the most effect. Like, so a 1% change on the click rate is not gonna be as powerful as a 1% change on up at the beginning of that funnel. And so like you can kind of sequentially streamline down further and further as you make those improvements. And so like, you know, but again, all of this starts with knowing some numbers. And I know we covered a lot. I know you might feel, if you're still with us, you are a soldier and you're serious about improving your business. And I applaud you for that. I honor you for that. It's a lot easier than you think it is, but it does take time. And this is not something that many business owners really are well versed in. I would very strongly suggest you to look at your numbers regularly at some set cadence, whether it's weekly, every other week. Certainly you should be looking at the P&L once a month. Don't just go by your bank account balance, you know, in terms of running your business. And like, this is kind of like the framework for how to start to really know what the score is. I mean, if you're not doing this, it's kind of like playing a baseball game without keeping score. Like you can't know if you're winning or losing. And so you have to do this.
Yep. So hopefully you got some really good, you know, tidbits from this conversation. I know we're talking about numbers, so a lot of times it's not very exciting, right, to talk about. but I think it's needed. And I will just challenge you, like right now, from this conversation, if you are not tracking these numbers that we talked about, pick one of them. Just pick one number and go in and try to figure that out, or get a bookkeeper or someone to figure it out for you, or go into the software to figure it out. Start with just that one number, and you might start seeing the ball rolling. A lot of times we don't take action to go look at these numbers because in our mind seems so overwhelming, like there's so much I need to put together. Start with one, and you'll see how the ball's going to start rolling.
That's right. All right, well, hope you guys enjoyed it. If you know someone that needs to know about their numbers and their business, share it with them, and we will see you next week. Everyone, take care.